Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
And one more time, my friends. First show of the decade, last show of the season here on January 3rd, 2010, week 17 holiday. I am your host, Rick Saratella. Join with me, fresh out of church, I got the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. How are you, sir?
Yeah, it's about 50 below outside, but this is perfect football weather. Let's do it.
Let's strap on the shoulder pads, the helmet, and collide as we get closer to the end, which is today. Ralph, and I want to run some scenarios by you today because I have a big, 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 big matchup in our fantasy football championship, the league for bragging rights, 20-man elimination battle. Want to give a shout out to Ross Mandel today. We are minus Ross Mandel, Rostradamus. We tried to get the whiz, the fantasy football whiz in here today. He's got 102 degree fever, so we were unable to get the fantasy football whiz, but check him out, fantasyfootballwhiz.com. Of course, we're here on the Fantasy Sports Channel, www.fsc.fm. And if you don't know who the NFL Draft Bible is by now, then you're obviously in the wrong place. Got off at the wrong bus stop or happened to be in the wrong town. Mercury Morris is not on my block. And Ralph, I am in the championship game, my friend. I rode Eli Manning and Steve Smith all season long. Now they have nothing to play for in week 17, but I do. So let me ask you this. I put Eli to the bench. I put Steve Smith to the bench. Insert Kyle Orton and Jabbar Gaffney. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if that's the best decision in the world, just because, number one, the Broncos are going to be playing without Brandon Marshall, their best wide receiver. I believe Eddie Royal is not going to be playing in this game. And on top of that, Tony Scheffler, the talented tight end, is going to be held out of this game as well. And so what are you left with? Well, maybe Jabbar Gaffney is worth it since there's going to be nobody else really to throw to on that team. But as far as Kyle Orton goes, I mean, if I had to pick between Eli Manning and Kyle Orton, I think I'm going with Eli Manning. He's had the much better season.
But, and Ralph, they activated Rhett Bomar from the practice squad. Eli Manning's had turf toe all season long. What makes you think he's even going to play more than a quarter or two? I don't see Eli Manning even playing.
Well, hey, I mean, I haven't heard that he's not going to play. I mean, look, maybe it's...
But, I mean, they activated Rhett Bomar from the practice squad.
Okay,
doesn't that,
all right. Hey, look. If you think it's a risky move, then you go with Orton. But
You don't think it is?
Well, hey, look. I mean, if you think they're going to put in Rhett Bomar, yeah, that is a risky move, you know?
I mean, what do you think, though? Eli Manning, you think he's going to play the whole game? He has nothing to play for. He's had turf toe all season long. Why in the world would the Giants play him today?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the Giants, I mean, coming off of that game last week, you would think that they would want to go out on a good note. And going up against that Minnesota defense, what's
crazy? Quarterback with turf toe? I don't know, man. I don't know.
Wait a second. Then you answer your own question. Then you go with Kyle Orton. Hey, look, I mean, I wouldn't like to put the ball in Kyle Orton's hands if a championship is riding on it. But, hey, you know what? You want to go the safe route? Then go with Kyle Orton.
Well, crime dog, crime puppy, I don't know if he's listening, but he's got Kurt Warner going, who I don't think is going to play. So what I did morning, Ralph, I did the 2:30 a.m. wake-up call, and I snatched up Mark Brunell and Ryan Fitzpatrick off the waiver wire to give him zero options. So let me ask you this. Would you consider either one of those guys then? I mean, Fitzpatrick is going up against the Colts, who's going to have their backups in for the entire game.
Yeah, that's true. And look, Fitzpatrick has shown some signs of, you know, developing some chemistry with Terrell Owens. I mean, it's not the worst move in the world going with him. And Mark Brunell, I know that he must be about 50 years old now, but he's in that New Orleans offense, and he does have a lot of options to go to. You know, I mean, both guys are not bad choices. I would probably put Fitzpatrick ahead of Brunell just because Fitzpatrick has actually played this year. You don't know how Brunell is going to look after all this time, never starting or never even appearing in a football game. So I think Fitzpatrick might be a little bit of a better choice this week.
Okay, so Fitzpatrick, Orton, or Eli, Ralph, help me out here because you're not giving me a huge vote of confidence. Which one would you go with?
Well, look, then at that point, you have to go with Orton. If you have absolutely no faith in – but wait a second. If you have absolutely no faith in Eli that he's not going to finish the game, and I haven't heard that he's not starting, but if you think he's not finishing the game, then you go to safe route, you go with Orton. I just don't like the idea of having to depend on Kyle Orton.
Well, I don't like it either. I rode Eli Manning for 16 weeks here, you know, and they activated Rhett Bomar from the practice squad, which tells me that they intend to get David Carr in there, and who knows if David Carr even finishes the game. They might want to see what Rhett Bomar has. But what I don't understand is why the Giants would even risk it. The guy's been battling a turf toe injury all season long. I just don't think they're going to play him. And Steve Smith, I know he got injured last week. I know he needs 3 catches. You know, I think the Giants will leave these guys in for the milestones. Steve Smith needs like 3 catches for 100. Hakeem Nicks needs like 2 catches for 50. I think Manning needs 120 yards for 4,000. I could see them leaving him in there for that. But are you with me then? Are you with me then, Jabbar Gaffney over Steve Smith this week? Are you with me there?
Yeah. Just because of the fact that there are going to be so many people missing from that Denver Broncos offensive lineup. Yeah, I mean, you would think logically that Jabbar Gaffney is going to get a lot of action this week. But look, Eli Manning, he is going to start. And even if he does play for one half, he could give you some nice numbers because Minnesota hasn't been able to stop anybody last week. I mean, you saw your boy Jay Cutler go off on them on Monday Night Football. And so right now, the Minnesota Vikings with that banged-up secondary, Antoine Winfield looking like he's 65 years old, you know, I think Eli could put up decent numbers even in one half of football. But, hey, you want to play it safe and go with Mr. Orton.
Yeah, I think, you know, Denver has something to play for there, and I'll just, you know, hold my breath, hope for the best, and that's a done deal. So we've sorted through my fantasy football dilemma, and, you know, I feel pretty good about Andre Johnson. They got something to play for there. Thomas Jones, they got something to play for there. Frank Gore, I'm going to ride him out.
He's got a great matchup.
Yeah, so I'm feeling good about it. So I'm going to get the ring polish out. I'm going to, get ready to add to the collection and line them up and have fun with that. Now, I hear that you have some potential sleepers for those playing in the Week 17 championship. I hear that you have uncovered some gems.
Well, you know, here are a few guys that you normally wouldn't start. I'm going to start talking about Brandon Jackson from the Green Bay Packers. Now, here's a player who scored 2 touchdowns last week. And, you know, the Green Bay Packers, they're going to be resting a lot of their guys, including their big breadwinner, running back Ryan Grant. And so here's Brandon Jackson in a prolific offense. I think he could do some damage this week. Also, and he's going up against Arizona, who also has nothing to play for. Well, Mike Bell is a guy who should see significant action this week. Pierre Thomas is out with a rib injury. And also, speaking of the New York Giants, what about your guy, Gartrell Johnson, out of Colorado State? Brandon Jacobs is on the IR, and Bradshaw is probably not going to play this week. So who else is left? DJ Ware has been banged up. So maybe Gartrell Johnson sees a lot of carries this week. And also, the unsung running back from the San Diego Chargers, 243-pound Mike Tolbert, will see increased touches this week. Let's not forget, he had 60 yards and 11 carries last week, and there is no way that LaDainian Tomlinson is going to play this week. Also, Karell Buckhalter could see some extended action. Had 42 yards versus Philly last week. He should split the carries with no Sean Marino versus KC. And then guys that are always good sleepers are once again good options this week if you need them. Justin Forsett, Chad Henne, Vince Young with a great matchup, and perhaps the most underrated tight end in the National Football League, Kevin Voss. And if you really, really have to go deep and you have nobody else left and you're looking through the free agent wire, looking for a tight end, why don't you give Will Heller a try from Detroit? He was signed from the Seattle Seahawks. Last week had 3 catches, 22 yards versus San Francisco.
Yeah, guess 148 seems pretty confident the Giants are going to play the whole game. I just don't see it. It doesn't make any sense, especially for a team with nothing left to play for. Moving forward, you want to see what some of these younger guys like a Gartrell Johnson and like a Mario Manningham. Well, Manningham's done all right, but, you know, they want to get some other guys in the mix here. I'm just not buying it. So please give you tougher questions. I don't know, my friend. I'm not in agreement with you. Those are some sleepers there for week 17. Ralph is giving you, and that's the kind of dilemmas we get into in these week 17 matchups. Ralph, let me ask you a question coming in from Dokuchu. Dokucha, good to see you in the chat room. Peyton Manning and Daryl Clark, or Matt Hasselbeck and John Carlson, which combination do you like here this week?
Manning and Clark, you said? Clark from
Manning
the
Manning and Dallas Clark or
Dallas
Hasselbeck
Clark.
And Carlson, yeah.
Hmm.
Combo.
Oh, wow. You know, look, Hasselbeck has just been terrible lately. And he's going up against, you know, a pretty decent Tennessee defense. Man, I don't know. I would rather get one half of football from Eli Manning than go with Matt Hasselbeck. Look, as far as Dallas Clark goes, you know, those Colts are going to get rested. I don't know how much he is going to play. I'd probably go with Carlson over Dallas Clark. But as far as Hasselbeck goes, man, God, I can't start that guy. There's no way I can start that guy.
So you take a half of Peyton Manning or a quarter and a half of Peyton Manning over Matt
Hasselbeck? I'm sorry, you said Peyton Manning? I thought you said
Peyton
Eli. Wow.
Peyton Manning might play one series and hang it up.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I guess in this case you have to go with Hasselbeck. I thought he was talking about Eli Manning. No, then you have to go with Hasselbeck at this point.
Okay, Walkie in the house, Walkie 33, has Aaron Rodgers, who could also be limited today. Would you go with Chad Henne versus Pittsburgh, Alex Smith versus St. Louis, or Vince Young against Seattle?
You know, Vince Young is the guy with the best matchup here. But the guy I like the best out of all these three is Chad Henne. I mean, you look at him, in three out of the last 4 weeks, he's been over 300 yards passing. He's a player who's only getting better. And, you know, Miami might actually have something to play for. I mean, their chances of making the playoffs are very remote. But you know that Miami wants to go off on a strong note. Chan Henne is a young, developing player. He's still getting better. I think he does have something to prove because he is so young and inexperienced. And I like what I saw out of him in the past month, really. So my favorite quarterback here is Chad Henne. The Pittsburgh Steelers do not scare me without Troy Polamalu. They are very beatable, and they should have lost last week versus Baltimore.
I agree with you 100%, Rev. You know, listen, I always go, when I come to these situations, I go with the players that have something to play for. So Vince Young, Alex Smith, nothing to play for. Chad Henne, hey, the Dolphins win, they have a chance. You know, same thing. Kyle Orton, Eli Manning, Kyle Orton's got something to play for. Eli Manning does not. So I go with players that have something to play for here, and I think that's how you got to do it. Week 17, you know, Alex Smith is packed his bags and ready to make hotel reservations in Aspen with Ross over there in Colorado. You know, so, you know, I think that's how you have to play those situations. This is the Sunday Morning Quarterback Show. Rick Saratella, Ralph Mancini, taking you up till 10 o'clock. And we're going to move on to some coaching carousel, latest news and happenings from around the league. Buffalo, Ralph hired a new general manager, Buddy Nix, up there in Buffalo, who actually goes all the way back to Tennessee Chattanooga days with Terrell Owens, I believe.
That's
they were
right.
there.
That's right.
And they did not quite get along, and they seem to have this verbal pact. You know, I won't talk about you, you won't talk about me, but we'll see if Terrell Owens is back in Buffalo next season. There's some talk that maybe he will be. He was very disappointing this year, but their quarterback play was horrendous. So, you know, let's take a look at Buffalo for a second. And now, you know, originally he was looking at Marty Schottenheimer as a coach. Marty Ball says he doesn't want to return to coaching. So now, believe it or not, Brian Schottenheimer,
yes.
You know, furniture's falling over
yes.
here with the name Brian Schottenheimer being tossed around as a potential head coach. And, of course, it was reported Brian Billick is actually going to come in for a look-see as well. So let's just take a look at this Buffalo team real quick. If you're Buddy Nix, and I kind of like bringing in Brian Billick, Brian Schottenheimer, I would not give the time or day.
Well, yeah, and then the other name that was thrown around was Ron Rivera, the defensive coordinator. And also, there were some rumors floating around last week that Charlie Weiss might be headed to Buffalo as well. As a matter of fact, it was reported that there was mutual interest between Charlie Weiss and the Buffalo Bills. You know, I like Brian Billick out of this group myself. He's a guy who's proven his weight and salt, and he's a good coach, and he's a good communicator, a good motivator. But he's also very good on television, and you would have to think, you know, why would he want to leave such a cush job that he has right now that he's very good at, by the way, you know, to join a Buffalo team that, if you look at it, I mean, compared to a lot of other teams in that division, I mean, their prospects don't look too promising, to say the least. And so that's a big undertaking, you know, trying to transform this Buffalo Bill team into a winner. Not a lot of free agents want to play in Buffalo. And really, you're going to need maybe about 3 years, maybe 4 years, maybe not that long, but at least I'd say about 3 seasons before you can transform the Buffalo Bills into a solid contender.
Especially
and, you know,
with that team. I mean, there's not, I don't think there's even any building blocks on that roster.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, which coach walks in there and is going to be given 3 years to rebuild? You know, fans are fickle. Fans are not going to be patient, you know. So you come into that type of situation, you might end up being the next Dick Geron, and nobody wants that.
That's for sure. By the way, the Colts and Bills are expected to play in a snowstorm today. They're supposed to get, you know, anywhere from – I think they got 3 to 6 inches last night. They're supposed to get another 3 to 6 inches today. They got 30-mile-per-hour winds, wind chills below zero. So it's going to be a cold one up in Buffalo. And you know what? That team is going to be hurting for a long time. Ralph, would you consider bringing back T.O. for another one-year deal, same amount of money, or would you just cut part ways at this point?
I mean, at this point, why even keep him? I mean, has he made a difference in that offense? He's had maybe one or two really spectacular games, but outside of that, you know, Terrell Owens hasn't really done much. He's a guy who's on the downside right now. He hasn't helped other players get better. I remember prior to the season, a lot of people were speculating that Lee Evans would be the guy to benefit the most from T.O.'s presence, I should say. And whatever happened to Lee Evans, you know, so, really, at this point, I mean, why even keep Terrell Owens unless you have a winning team with Super Bowl aspirations? Terrell
well, let me ask you this then, Ralph. Let me ask you this. Is there going to be a team out there in the NFL, because it didn't seem like there was last year until the Bills stepped up, is there going to be a team out there willing to give T.O. a contract for millions or more than $1 million? I remember a few years ago, Joe Horn didn't exactly have the greatest reputation around the league in terms of attitude, and I think he could have still played for a few more seasons, but it didn't seem like any team was willing to even give him a contract. Do you think there's a team out there that's looking at T.O. and saying, hey, you know what, if we bring this guy in, he could be the piece that we need?
Well, I think there are a lot of coaches out there that don't want to go near Terrell Owens, but, you know, I think I'm not saying he cannot get a job. I'm just saying he's going to have to play at a very reduced rate. There'll be a team that will bring him in there, maybe even give him a workout, but he's going to have to play for a low salary, by his standards anyway. And, you know, he might not have the type of role that he covets. You know, maybe he comes to a team and becomes their third wide receiver.
How typical would it be that there's no takers? He goes to the Patriots for a minimum contract and plays third fiddle to Randy Moss and Wes Welker up there in New England. Wouldn't that be typical?
Well, yeah. He'd be a huge upgrade over Sam Aiken.
All right. Let's go over to Tampa Bay. Raheem Morris and staff will be back for next season. Good move or bad move?
I thought it was a bad move bringing him in the first place. I mean, here's a guy who never called a play in his life, who was never a coordinator, was a defensive backs coach, I believe, and, you know, and you make him a head coach at 32 years old. I mean, I could understand the trend, a lot of people going with the youth movement, going with the younger guys, but to just go with a 32-year-old just for the sake of saying, hey, I have a young head coach, I mean, that's just foolish. I mean, we've seen it time and again in the NFL where they try to make these assistant coaches, non-coordinators, into head coaches, and we always see these types of guys not being prepared for the task at hand. You've seen it with Jim Zorn, who was a quarterback's coach. They made him a head coach. And you've seen it with Herm Edwards, who was a defensive backs coach, and they made him a head coach with the New York Jets, and then also faltered with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Herm Edwards was a guy, great coach, from Monday through Saturday, but on Sunday things got a little dicey. So, look, as far as Raheem Morris goes, I don't know why they hired him. I'm not saying the guy doesn't have a future, but you got to have some coordinator experience.
So it looks like Tampa Bay will be flushing down another season down the toilet next season, and you know, who's to say Josh Freeman is the answer there either. Let's go over to the chat room, Ralph, where we got some questions coming in. And guest 151 needs some help, so we're going to help him out here. PPR League needs two running backs. Amongst them, Marion Barber, Arian Foster, Jamal Charles, Mike Bell, and Sammy Morris. I'll say them again. Marion Barber, Arian Foster, Jamal Charles, Mike Bell, and Sammy Morris. Now, I'm looking at these guys, Ralph. I'm thinking Sammy Morris is the best bet here. And I would probably take my risk and roll the dice with Arian Foster. What's your take?
Well, I do agree that Sammy Morris is a good choice. I would also agree that Mike Bell is a good choice. But I would probably take Foster, number one, because the Texans are really playing for a realistic playoff spot here. I think they're going to be playing hard throughout the game. And, you know, I'm going to stick with Jamal Charles. I mean, here's a guy. He's been doing it each and every week. The Kansas City Chiefs, you might say they have nothing to play for, but the coach has something to play for because he has to prove that, you know, he is worthy of this job. You know, a lot of fans have been disenchanted with him too, so I think Kansas City is going to play hard this week. They're probably not going to win, but I would probably go with Arian Foster and Jamal Charles.
Okay, let's go over to his wide receivers. Keep in mind, this is a PPR league. He needs three of the above. Randy Moss, Mike Sims-Walker, Devin Aramashadu coming out of the woodworks last week, Dwayne Bowe, Antonio Bryant, Kevin Walter. So of these six guys, Randy Moss, Mike Sims-Walker, Aramashadu, Dwayne Bowe, Antonio Bryant, Kevin Walter, which three here do you like?
Well, you know, I'm definitely going to go with the Aramashadu because, number one, Johnny Knox is going to be hurt. So even if Devin Hester comes back, Aramashadu is going to see a lot of action. He's going up against the Detroit Lions. So that's a given. Then also Dwayne Bowe is a guy that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to try to throw a lot of passes to. Here's a guy who was suspended earlier in the year. And it's good to actually get something out of this guy. So I think they're going to be throwing the ball to him a lot. I would go with him. Sims-Walker hasn't done much of anything over the past 2 or 3 weeks. You know, Randy Moss is a guy that they might rest. So it comes down to Antonio Bryant versus Kevin Walter. Look, at this point, who's playing with the better quarterback? You go with Walter, who has Schaub throwing passes to him. So
and
my choice is
to play
be,
for.
Yes, and I would go with the Ramachandran, Bo, and Walter.
Very good. And if you do go with Bo, then I think it does make sense to go with Jamaal Charles. You may have convinced me there, Ralph. One tight end. He's got Dallas Clark, Greg Olsen. Dallas Clark or Greg Olsen. So there you go. I think you go Greg Olsen. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And then one flex player out of the players that we named that we did not choose, pick a flex player. So I guess you go with whatever guy left over between Sammy Morris, Mike Bell, and Jamaal Charles. Aaron, you know, Arian Foster, there's four guys there. You know, pick one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. There you have it. So we'll get you through there. Good luck to your championship. I know I'll be celebrating later today at about 7:30 p.m. You know what? Don't tell me. Okay, listen here. Don't tell me the Giants are going to be playing for pride, okay? Because if they had any pride, they wouldn't have laid down flat in the middle of the avenue last week. So don't tell me the Giants are playing for pride because their pride went out the window last week, you know? Sorry, Ralph. I had to rant there real quick. Watch Eli Manning play the whole game and throw for 400 yards now.
Well, hey, look, the Giants were embarrassed. Eli Manning apologized to the fans, and so did the coach, Tom Coughlin. So, I mean, the guy does have a point, whoever said that in the chat room. I mean, they do have some, I think they do have a little bit to play for, you know.
Here's one for you. T.O. winding up in Cincinnati with Ocho Cinco.
Yeah, wow. You know, I can't see that because of his personality, but they sure could use him, though.
They could be tweeting next to each other in the halftime. all right, let's get into a little fun here. We're going around the league. Sunday morning quarterback show. Rick Saratella, Ralph Mancini. We got about an hour left, taking up to 10 o'clock. Let's talk about the AFC, Ralph. I think there's 7 or 8 teams in the mix here for a playoff berth. Denver and the Jets control their own destiny. If they win, they're in. Those are the two big teams that do control their own destiny. Denver.
Oh, wait
at
a second. What about the Ravens?
I'm sorry. Is it the Ravens?
I believe it's the Ravens. I think the Broncos need both the Jets and the Ravens to lose.
Okay. I apologize. So it's the Ravens and the Jets who control their own destiny. Before we get to your AFC prediction, let's get to your AFC playoff prediction. Are the Ravens and the Jets both going to get the job done this week and take care of business? I know the Jets are later tonight at 8:20. Baltimore this week is playing Oakland in Oakland at 4:00. So are they going to take care of business?
I think so. I think so. I mean, Cincinnati, I mean, they would be better off resting their players, a guy like Carson Palmer. And then the other thing is that Cincinnati might be playing the Jets in the first round of the playoffs. So if you're Marvin Lewis, why would you want to risk or expose your game plan to the Jets during the regular season if you're going to play them again in the postseason?
Yeah, and we're going to go to AFC predictions. Quick question, Brandon Stokley, does he have value? Absolutely, he does. In my opinion, if you missed it at the top of the show, I'm actually going Stokley over Steve Smith of the New York Giants this week. You know, like we said, Eddie Royal's out, Brandon Marshall's out, Tony Scheffler's out. So Brandon Stokley, I'm sorry, I'm starting Jabbar Gaffney over Steve Smith. But, yeah, Brandon Stokley would also have value because he's going to be starting. The Broncos are going to be trying to get into the playoffs. And, you know, Kyle Orton's going to be slinging it around today, boys, against that, you know, putrid Kansas City Chiefs defense. And the fact is, you know, Denver plays at 4, the Jets play at 4, Baltimore plays at 4. So, you know what? Denver's going to go into this game with a hope that they can get into the playoffs. They're not going to know the outcome. So they're going to be playing with a lot on the line. Now, We're going to do AFC prediction, NFC prediction, and Super Bowl prediction, Ralph. Let's first get your AFC prediction for the 2010 Super Bowl.
So you want the AFC championship prediction?
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, I think the Indianapolis Colts and the San Diego Chargers are the class of the conference, and I think it's going to come down to those two teams fighting it out. I do like Indy. I do think it's their year. I do think it's Peyton Manning's year. So I like Indy over San Diego in a shootout 34-30.
Okay. I am going to say that this time of the year, I'm just not sold on Phillip Rivers yet. And I know he had a gutsy performance last year or 2 years ago, and he gets better every year. But the Chargers have been the team picked to go to the Super Bowl year after year after year. And I look at their head coach in North Turner. I don't view him as a winner. I don't think he can get the job done. And I think a team like the New England Patriots, yes, the New England Patriots, once again, find a way to eke into the AFC Championship and take on the Indianapolis Colts. And you know what? I think we saw earlier this season, correct me if I'm wrong, but the New England Patriots should have beaten the Indianapolis Colts. And I think it's going to be a closer matchup than some people may think. So I'm going to go to say that at the end of the day, Peyton Manning will find a way because New England's secondary is just not good enough to get the job done. The Patriots' defense overall lost too many key players. So I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts marching on into the Super Bowl. We will do NFC a bit later on. But first, we're going to have some more fun here. And before we do, I want to let you know you're listening to the Sunday Morning Quarterback Show. We are Rick Saratella, Ralph Mandel, minus Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini minus Ross Mandel, getting ahead of myself here. And we're going to be back right after this quick message.
I'm Rob Reed of BaseballGeeks.com and PlayerTrack.com. Since 2006, Greg Kier and I have been bringing you podcasts on baseball news, where we view the latest in baseball news with our fantasy baseball-colored sunglasses. We are proud to be a part of the Fantasy Sports Channel at BlogTalkRadio.com. Listen to us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at BlogTalkRadio.com/BaseballGeeks. And listen to two average Joes talk about the game that we love.
Are you one of the millions of American fantasy owners who suffer from fantasy sports failure syndrome, or FSFS? If so, coming in January 2009, a new fantasy site hits the web to cure this crippling disease. FantasyPros901.com will provide you with the essentials to win your leagues, with products like our fantasy draft guide, daily podcasts, daily expert articles, and the best support team anywhere on the web. Tell your doctor you need FantasyPros911.com for your fantasy sports failure syndrome now.
Fantasy versus Reality, the show in which guys and girls are just sitting around the bar talking sports and sharing opinions. Tune in next Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't be late or you'll be kaboomed. More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
Back at it again here, Sunday Morning Quarterback Show, Week 17, holiday, holla, holla, holla. How you doing today? Rick Saratella, Ralph Mancini with you here, 9:05. Sunday morning, last show of the season, first of the decade, and we're going to be doing some of our all-decade teams a little bit coming up here. And I want to remind you that NFLDraftBible.com is very, 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 very close to being relaunched, so keep an eye out on that, the relaunch of NFLDraftBible.com. We're going to have details on how you can get the 2010 NFL Draft Bible. Woo! It's It's hot. It's burning up. I'm holding a rough draft in my hands now, and I got third-degree burns. So that's something to keep a lookout for. And, you know, we've been marching them on each week to the championship, and it's always good to get a nice update from our friend Jersey.
Yo, my brothers from two different mothers, man. I went 1-1 last week. I actually picked up Stort in my PPR league, guys, and won that. And then on my standard league that I was number one all year, I lost by 0.2 of a point. My boy Favre with the damn fumble. And if Andre Peterson would have just held the ball, went out of bounds, another set of downs, I needed 4 more points. I needed 325. He gave me 321 to Favre. I lost 103.96 to 103.76, my brothers.
Ouch.
Can you believe $525 to $225, $300 I lost difference for first and second place because of that fumble that both did. If one would not, if like I said, if one wouldn't have fumbled, would have won by 2 points. So, hey, you know, it's what fantasy's about. But, you know, I wanted to thank you guys for the advice you gave me. And, you know, I do talk to a couple of different people every week. And, you know, it's the advice you guys give and some of the other people that allow you to make a decision when Sunday comes. Hey, we're not always right. We're not always wrong. But, you know, but having that extra voice you guys give does help, and you do give back, you know, on what you're doing. Hey, I sat Manning, and I played for him. If I didn't, everybody I played in the one I lost by 0.2 of a point, I didn't play anybody that wouldn't have gave me the most amount of points. So I did everything I could to put myself to win. And like I said, some of the knowledge you've shared with me last week and during the course of the year had got me to where I had to go to. And, you know, I wanted to thank you guys. I like to give thanks where thank is due. And, you know, I do ask a lot of questions, and you do give me the time and answer it. And I just want to say thank you. And I'm looking forward to dealing with you guys in 2010 next football and appreciate everything you did for me.
Hey, Jersey, that's why we do it, man. It's your comments like that's the reason why we do this show. And you know what? Oh, leave it to old man Favre, but you know what? Like you said, you maxed out. You did what you can do, and you win some, you lose some, and that's what we're here for. So, you know, we definitely appreciate it. Let me ask you a question this week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I got Eli Manning and Kyle Orton this week, man. People trying to tell me that Eli Manning is going to play the whole game. I don't buy it. What would you do?
Wow. Well, you don't have Marshall playing this week, supposedly, which could hurt Kyle Orton a little bit. You know what I mean? I think they're benching for whatever reason. I'm not sure what happened there, but from what I hear, wow. You know,
I put you on the spot here.
Where is? Because I haven't followed a lot now since last week. Who the Giants playing and where at? Home or away?
Well,
you guys playing.
The Giants are on the road in Minnesota, so they're playing in a dome. But they activated Rhett Bomar from the practice squad, which tells me that David Carr is going to play, and that's in a little insurance policy. If Carr gets injured, they actually activated Rhett Bomar for the first time all season. Plus, Eli's been playing with turf toe all season, so I don't see why he would play the whole game.
And who's Denver got? Who's Denver got?
Well, Denver's at home against Kansas City. They have an outside chance of making the playoffs if they win. Kansas City's got a terrible defense. I think Kyle Orton's going to be slinging the ball around with or without Brandon Marshall.
I think you have to go Orton only because, like you're saying, if Minnesota can be passed on, but here's the thing. I've had Minnesota's defense all year in Green Bay. I played Green Bay last week. Minnesota struggles on the road. They're a much better team defensively at home, too, but you can still pass on them even at home. I think your best thing, I don't know if this is your finals or whatever, but I think, like you said, if Orton's going against Kansas City, I think Orton, you know he's going to play. He gives you, it's almost like a Favre Manning type thing. He gives you an opportunity to play the four quarters. You got to go with the guy who you think's going to be able to give you much because the Giants are run first, but they do pass. I think I'd go Orton if I were you. That would probably be if I was in your shoes, I would probably go Orton with that matchup.
There you have it, Jersey. Good to hear from you.
So, hey,
and,
I hope that helps you guys because you guys helped me all year. And like I said, I just wanted to thank you guys for what you did. You deserve it. And, again, I like to give thanks where thanks is. And best of luck to you today. And, last question. I'm going to be in the league starting, I guess, for the playoffs next week or whatever. Any sleepers you think from the first round that may make it to the Super Bowl? We have like a kind of like a suicide thing where you grab like a quarterback, two receivers, two running backs, a tight end, a defense, and you try to get as far as it's going to go. Any sleepers?
Yeah, what do you got? You got any teams, Ralph, that you think might
any
make a
teams
run here in the
playoffs? You're talking about teams or players? If you're talking about teams,
he wants to know what teams you think may go far because those
okay.
are the kind of players.
Okay.
You can grab the players.
Here's the thing. If you're looking for sleepers, I would look at the NFC over the AFC. You know, in the AFC, you know, it's probably going to be Indy, San Diego, maybe New England with an outside chance of making it to the championship game. But when you're talking about the NFC, I think you have some viable contenders among the lower-seeded teams. So when you're talking about teams like Green Bay, like Arizona, mm-hmm. you know, those are teams that could surprise this year. So
I like the Packers a lot.
Yeah.
I like the Packers a lot. I'll tell you why, because Green Bay – they implemented that new 3-4 defense this year. In the first half of the season, it was a transitional mode. You remember they started off slow. They weren't hitting on all cylinders. Now they're hitting stride when it counts. And that offensive line is starting to come around now. And Aaron Rodgers actually has a little bit of protection and some time to make decisions. And you know what? I like Green Bay to go very, very far. And you know, look, Ralph had the Chargers and the Colts in his AFC Championship. I had the Patriots and the Colts in the AFC Championship. We're going to do our NFC picks in a second here. But you know what? I think the Green Bay Packers have a real legitimate shot of going to the NFC Championship. I'm not so sure that, you know, maybe they are. Maybe they are on everyone's radar. But I'm not so sure everybody is aware of that. I like the Packers a lot. So that would be, you know, one team of players who I target.
Okay, because what we do is we pick, I think, seven guys, kind of defense, and then I think you're allowed six or seven people. Once your guy's eliminated, then you can pick up somebody again. And I think it's like you have 300 points, so maybe quarterbacks and running backs and good wide receivers add up to so many things. So you can add up to 300 points, and then you can take guys off once they get eliminated. So whoever gets the most amount of points through the playoffs wins a thing. It's like $25 to get in. We did it last year. So I never really did anything like that. That's what I want to ask you guys. Like last year, people would have had a lot of the Arizona guys were sleepers because they played from week one on, and then some of the Pittsburgh guys. So, like I said, it's all
about you. I'll tell you one team I wouldn't target, and that would be the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they are wanksters.
Okay. Yeah. they're liable to be one and done. You know, what do you think Philly's going to do? You think Philly's going to do anything in the playoffs? Or, I mean, I guess we'll know tonight how they play against Dallas.
I think Philly's going to make noise, but I guess we don't know if they have a first-round bye or not yet, right? Is that what they're playing for? I think them and Minnesota have a chance to play for home field.
Yeah. With Philly, I think they definitely have a shot. I think they can win maybe one, maybe even two games. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Donovan McNabb has to prove to me that he's a money quarterback. And to me, he's a guy that always comes up small in the biggest of games. So I don't like them to go to the Super Bowl, but I think they could win a game or two.
Okay. All right, guys. Hey, I appreciate your advice there. I'll look and see how things fall out this week, because we have to. I know by next week we have to pick our team. So I'm just trying to get a little insight as to who you may think may, if there's any first round teams that may make it to the Super Bowl. Sometimes there's always one. Sometimes there's none. But like I said, I like your picks. You're kind of thinking on the same line as me from the NFC and the AFC, who may get what they have to get. And again, I thank you very much, guys. It's been a pleasure dealing with you this year. I look for hopefully another 2010 where I'm in the finals again, and we can always butt heads again. And best of luck to you guys with Orton, and hope all things go well. And enjoy your day, and have a safe and happy New Year, guys. Take care.
All right. Happy New Year.
Absolutely, Jersey. Good to hear from you. That's how Jersey gets down, and we win rings and things, and that's how we do it. So it's always good to hear from Jersey. It's always good to get those kind of phone calls. And we got your back, people. That's what we're here for. We're not here to make your decisions. We're here to give you our logic, our voice of reason, and help you determine the move to make. So, you know, Ralph, we discussed our AFC Championship predictions. And since it's a hot topic right now, let's do the NFC Championship predictions. Who do you have going to the NFC Championship?
Well, as you know, in the NFL, it's not always the best team, or better yet, the team with the best record that goes all the way. And we saw that last year. You know, this year with the NFC, really, I don't have a good feeling with the New Orleans Saints or the Minnesota Vikings. These are two teams that have been fading down the stretch, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say it's going to be between the Arizona Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship, and I'm going to go with Arizona 28, Green Bay 25 in a thriller.
Wow, the Cardinals doing them again. Kurt Warner, man, trying to pile up on those Super Bowl appearances. You know what, Ralph? I don't think that's too crazy. And I almost, too, did pick Arizona, but I'm going to add a little bit different wrinkle, which would be very fun and interesting, and I hope it does happen. But I'm going to tell you what. I think that a Minnesota Vikings are going to squeak in with home field advantage. I think old man Favre can get the job done. I think he can get him there, but I think he's going to hit a stumbling block when they reach the NFC Championship because he's going to run into an old friend called the Green Bay Packers who are playing lights out, baby, and I think the Green Bay Packers are going to put an end to the Brett Favre career. And with a big, fat stamp on it, Aaron Rodgers sending them signed, sealed, delivered, FedEx out of town. I like the Packers over the Vikings in one of the most memorable playoff games ever. So there you have it. There's our NFC prediction. So let's get right into it and you know what? We'll save the NFL Super Bowl prediction for later in the show. We'll get back to that. Awards time, Ralph. I was a little bit surprised. We put up a poll on the NFLDraftBible.com website. I was a little bit surprised at the results. It was for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I thought it would be a lot closer. Apparently, people felt that Percy Harvin was – you know, hands down by far the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. We put this up last week. Based on 600 votes here, Percy Harvin got 44.7% of the votes, almost half, convincingly winning Rookie of the Year. Austin Colley, Mike Wallace each had 8% of the votes. Matt Stafford, 7.9% of the votes. No Sean Moreno, 7.2%. Hakeem Nicks got 6%. And then to round it up, LeSean McCoy, Mark Sanchez, and Beanie Wells. And then, you know, 41 people picked other. I think these people just pick other just to be different. I can't think that there's a rookie out there that was better than any of these guys or, you know. But let me ask you this. Do you agree with Percy Harvin, and did anything here on this list surprise you?
Well, I absolutely agree with Percy Harvin. I mean, you know, here's a guy who helped rejuvenate Brett Favre, and if you ever spoke to Brett Favre, if you ever have the opportunity to speak to Brett Favre, he'd probably tell you that Percy Harvin made things a lot easier for him, and he did surprise Brett Favre, you know, with the way he came out as a rookie and became such a huge playmaker for that Minnesota Vikings team. So, yeah, I voted for Percy Harvin. I have no problem. You know, maybe the thing that surprised me a little bit, I know that Taz mentioned it in one of the emails that we exchanged, that LeSean McCoy probably got a few more votes than people expected, at least that I expected. You know, he had a couple of flashes here and there, but all in all, you know, LeSean McCoy, you know, he really – didn't knock my socks off this year as a rookie. He does have some promise, had a 66-yard touchdown versus the Giants, but you know what? A lot of people have big plays against the Giants this year. So,
I know his big beef was with Beanie Wells. I mean, I don't think Beanie Wells deserves to be last on this list.
No, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I think Beanie Wells has really emerged during the latter part of the season, and I love Beanie Wells, and if you're asking me who I would have, LeSean McCoy or Beanie Wells as a future franchise back, I'm definitely going to go with Beanie Wells based on his talent, based on his size, based on his speed and determination with which he runs.
Absolutely. I agree 100%, and that's a perfect segue into our next segment, which is some rookie players that are going to make a jump in fantasy football from this season to next season. I know you have singled out a few guys and targeted some players that you're going to be, you know, eyeing in your fantasy football draft next season. So let's talk about who are some of these rookies that we can expect to make that leap or make that jump into fantasy football stardom next season.
Yeah, well, I don't have a ton of guys, but I have a few here that I'm going to be keeping my eye on. Obviously, a guy like Wells and a guy like Jeremy Maclin are guys that have already emerged, and I think they're only going to get better. But as far as guys who haven't had that opportunity to really show off their skills, I like two guys. I like two running backs. I like Donald Brown from the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes.
He finally showed you something last week versus the Jets. He finally got healthy. It was just one of those seasons where, you know, first he had the chest injury, he had a bunch of other physical issues, but you saw last week the power with which he runs. And this guy just has a high ceiling. And look, if you take a look at that Indy team, Joseph Addai is, to me, a mediocre back, a decent back, but not a franchise back. Let's face it, if Joseph Addai is playing for the Detroit Lions, if Joseph Addai, you know, is playing for the Green Bay Packers, or if he's playing for the Giants, you know, would he score as much? You know, no. Would he be half as good as he is right now? No, he wouldn't be. I think Donald Brown has the upside there, and I think he's going to emerge with time starting next year. And then the other guy who's very much under the radar that I'd be looking at, and look, I'm not telling you this guy is going to go off and have 1,500 yards next year, but I'm just saying keep an eye on this guy, because you take a look at the New York Giants, what the problems they have with their running game, and to me, if I'm running that organization, man, I would just kick Brandon Jacobs out the door, man. I think this guy is done. I don't like the way he runs. I never liked those upright runners, 6'4". You need to get low, but how low can you go when you're 6'4"? Then they have Ahmad Bradshaw on that team, another guy who's very injury-prone, a reckless running back. To me, I'd be looking at a guy like Andre Brown, a guy that nobody's talking about, who's very much under the radar.
Yeah,
and if he comes back and he's healthy, I mean, I don't see why the Giants don't try to give this guy some carries and make him the number one, or at the very least, their number two back.
Yeah, Andre Brown from NC State, you know, is a guy, he's always been injured, but he runs like a beast. I mean, if he could ever stay healthy. And you know what? Let's keep an eye on Gartrell Johnson today with the Giants. I mean, the guy was taken in the fourth round of by the Chargers. They cut him in training camp. The Giants picked him up. He's been stashed on the bench all season long. I look for him to get 20 carries today. And you know what? Who knows? If he plays well, who's to say Brandon Jacobs will be back next year? I mean, that guy looks like he's done. He's shot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What about a guy, Ralph, right here, also in New York? I mean, Thomas Jones will be entering his final year of his contract next season, I believe. What about a guy like Sean Green?
Yeah, I like Sean Green. I like the way he runs. He's tough. He sticks his nose in there. He's a big back, breaks tackles, and all of that. Good vision, good cutback runner as well. The only thing about Sean Green is that the two things that worry me about him is, number one, he fumbles the ball a lot. And number two, I mean, he's a guy that has to prove that he can stay healthy. You saw him, like, get nicked on a couple of plays this year. I like his future, but if you're the New York Jets, I mean, you have to keep Thomas Jones around based on the type of season that he had. So I do think that Sean Green should have an increased role next year. I just wouldn't expect, you know, the sun, the moon, and the stars for Mr. Green. Because Thomas Jones is still going to be there. So, you know, they might have a 60-40 or maybe 50-50 or 70-30 type of timeshare there in with the New York Jets between Thomas Jones and Mr. Green.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to give you two quarterbacks who I'm not telling you they're going to be starters next year. Maybe in 2 years they will be, but I know in the Dynasty League that I'm in, I like to pick up these kind of guys on the waiver wire for like a dollar and just stash them, and if they develop, cool. If not, no big deal. Of course, you all know my friend in St. Louis, Keith Null, who will be getting another start today. You know what? Keep an eye on him. See what he's got. You know what? If you can grab him. Like, I'm in a league, Dynasty, or you're in the league now, Ralph, this year, too. You got involved with the 40-man roster. You know, why not nab a guy like a Keith Knoll? Hope that, you know what, maybe he does have a chance to be at the starter there. And I'll give you another guy who I don't think will get a legitimate shot, but you know what? Who knows? Maybe the Seahawks bring back Matt Hasselbeck next season, and he gets injured, and a guy that I have my eye on is another local guy, Mike Teal from Rutgers. I mean, you know, here's a guy I think at some point in time could get an opportunity, and it all goes back to the Mike McMahon theory. If Mike McMahon can get an opportunity, a shot, if Ray Lucas can get a chance, why can't Mike Teal at least get a start or two under his belt to see what he's got?
Well,
go ahead.
Well, now that we're on the subject of taxi squad guys, you know, one quarterback that I'm keeping stashed just in case is another rookie, Tom Brandstetter from the Denver Broncos. Look,
yeah.
We all mentioned that Kyle Orton is a, you know, not an elite talent, doesn't have the arm, a guy that, you know, maybe might get you by if you have a good running game and a strong defense. But Brandstetter is a guy who's got tremendous size, good decision-making skills, good movement in the pocket, and a better arm than Kyle Orton. So, no, maybe this guy with 1 or 2 years of seasoning could emerge as a starting quarterback out there in Denver.
Yeah, the former Fresno State product. A couple more here I got. I think Johnny Knox elevates his game next season. I wouldn't be surprised to see Johnny Knox actually develop into a bigger playmaker than Devin Hester. I thought it was a bad move making Hester a full-time wideout. I think ideally Hester's your slot wide receiver, and he should be returning kicks. So I think, you know what, hey, maybe Terrell Owens lands in Chicago and they have T.O. and Johnny Knox and Aroma Shadu, and maybe you can slide Devin Hester in the slot and put him back into returning kicks, because I think that's where you're going to get your most value from Devin Hester. So I think Johnny Knox has a real good opportunity to emerge as a big-time playmaker next season. And how about Michael Crabtree?
Yep.
I think, you know, Crabtree, he showed me something. He's got 40 catches, 500 yards, a couple touchdowns, you know, in less than 10 games, I would think. So, you know, I think Michael Crabtree has a guy to be a 1,000-yard receiver next season.
Yes, I think he's the real deal. And then I'll give you two under-the-cover tight ends to look out for. And number one, I'm going to start off with Jared Cook from the Tennessee Titans. Now, here's a guy who's supremely talented. He's only had, you know, a couple of cups of coffee during the season, you know, to catch a few passes. But as this guy becomes more acclimated to the NFL, becomes more familiar with the offense, I think this is a guy with all the physical tools to be a wide receiver in a tight end's body. And I look for this guy to be a future star, much better than Bo Scaife. If you like Bo Scaife, you're going to love Jared Cook. And then another guy who really I think is on the wrong team, in the wrong situation, if he ever had the opportunity, could emerge, I think, as a top five, maybe top six tight end, is Marty B, Martellus Bennett with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
He's a guy with extraordinary size, huge hands, and the ability to go downfield. You know, there were rumors earlier in the season that the Cincinnati Bengals were willing to trade for him. And,
yep.
If he ever went to a team like that, I think we'd finally see him emerge.
Well, let me ask you, since we're talking about tight ends, how about a guy like Brandon Pettigrew? I mean, how much of a jump do you see him making? He's got 30 catches, 350 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Can he take it to that 500 yards, 5 touchdowns next season?
Yeah, I like Brandon Pettigrew. I like his quarterback, Matthew Stafford. I think he improves his game, obviously. And I do like Pettigrew. He's a smart player. He's got terrific hands. Maybe, I think, out of all the tight ends that came out last year, he has the best hands out of all those guys. You know, not the type of guy, not a burner like a JerMichael Finley, but a solid guy. Let's say a modern-day Bubba Franks, when Bubba Franks is actually good.
There you go. And you know, I'm looking, I got the defensive stats in front of me here, and I'm looking, you know, at the NFL draft Bible. This is why the draft is so interesting, because, you know, here's a guy, James Laurinaitis, who we had graded out as a first round guy. He slid all the way down to, I think, the bottom of the second round. And
mm-hmm.
He led all rookies in tackles. I mean, the guy has 110 tackles, and he's the leader of that defense over there in St. Louis. You know, and it's just interesting to see how sometimes that works out. I'll tell you one guy who did surprise me. He was a first-round pick, but I did not expect the type of impact that Brian Orakpo had this season.
Yes.
11 stacks. Wow.
Yeah. How are the Buffalo Bills feeling about that one? They took Aaron Maben. They take Aaron Maben over Orakpo, Cushing, and Clay Matthews Jr.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, let's be honest. Cushing and Matthews do deserve a mention here. Cushing has 120 tackles. Clay Matthews has 10 sacks. Phenomenal rookie seasons from the USC duo, our good buddies. And then Jarius Byrd, 9 interceptions for a rookie. Outstanding.
Yes.
Vontae Davis also with 4. So some rookies there, just, you know, rookie watch, there you have it. And always fun to take a look at the rookies and see what's coming up. So, Ralph, I know you did an NFL All-Decade team that we're going to talk about in a second. What about the NFL MVP for this season? You know, it was a two-man race for most of the start of the season. You had Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, Brett Favre actually were the main guys. Then towards the end of the season, now you have Philip Rivers emerging as a candidate. And let's not forget Chris Johnson. Actually, before I get your NFL MVP, it was came up in the chat room, Ralph. Do you think Chris Johnson has a shot to, juice is loose, break the record?
Well, he needs, what is it now? Is it 200 yards? What is it? I don't even know what the yardage is.
Yeah, I think it's 120 or 130 to get to 2,000. I think it's 200-something to break OJ's record. I'm not sure what the exact numbers are, but, you know, I think the Titans are going to give him an opportunity.
Oh.
I think if they get to halftime and he has a legitimate shot to do it, I think they're going to give him an opportunity to just
I think he's got a great chance. I mean, look at who he's going up against, the Seattle Seahawks. So I think he's got a great chance.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to it. NFL MVP, who's your pick and why?
Well, you know, I mean, I look at Chris Johnson, and he's had a memorable, legendary season that we'll probably talk about for years and years, but I'm looking at the quarterbacks, and Drew Brees had another stellar season for most of the year. Philip Rivers, once again, probably the most consistent quarterback in the NFL, seems to never have a bad game. But to me, I have to go with Peyton Manning. I mean, here's a guy that not only has led his team to a one-loss record, but, you know, here's a guy who week after week brought his team back from behind, you know. I mean, I always go back, and the one game that stands out for me was that Monday Night Football game versus the Miami Dolphins. And here go the Fish, just like controlling the ball, controlling the tempo of the game with the Wildcat, with Ronnie Brown, with Williams. I mean, it looked like they had the ball about 80% of the game on offense. And here comes Peyton Manning, boom, boom, boom. You know, this guy scores in like 2 minutes. Whereas the Dolphins have the ball like 80-85% of the time. So, Peyton Manning has just done it week in and week out. He's been consistent not only this year but throughout the years. The ultimate team leader. He's taken his game to another level this year. I have to go with Peyton Manning.
It's hard to argue Peyton Manning. I mean, listen, I think somebody summed it up best last week when they said, you know what, you saw firsthand against the Jets, you take Peyton Manning off of that football team, they're a 6-win ball club.
Yep.
I mean, you know, this guy is hands down, I don't know, you take Brett Favre, it depends on what you think is the most valuable player. To me, the most valuable player is not always what the best statistics are. To me, Peyton Manning's more valuable than Brett Favre. If they got Tavarius Jackson, they can maybe get by. Even San Diego, I say, hey, you know what, Billy Volek, he could step in and win a couple games if need be. Even Chris Johnson, I mean, you know, I thought it was interesting to see Lendale White become non-existent. But, you know, what if Chris Johnson did go down? Lendale White could step in there. They got Javon Ringer. So, you know, you take Peyton and Manning away, Colts, and he'd throw Curtis Painter in there and forget about it. They're done, and we saw it. We saw it with the Jets. They couldn't even get a first down. So I think, yeah, you got to give it to Peyton Manning. And with that, we're going to go into our Super Bowl predictions, Ralph, since both of us have the Indianapolis Colts moving on to the Super Bowl. You have the Cardinals. I have the Packers. Who's bringing home the Vince Lombardi trophy?
Well, I already mentioned it is Peyton Manning's year. I think Indy takes it. It's going to be a fun game. Indianapolis 38, Arizona 27.
Boy, you know, we both think the Colts are going to win the Super Bowl, so that makes me a little skeptical now that they really will. Yeah, I got the Colts beating the Packers, and I think that the Super Bowl, you know, if the Saints don't make it to the Super Bowl, which I don't think they will, just because I'm not sold on their defense. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the Saints don't make it, I think we are in danger of seeing a major blowout in the Super Bowl. Although, you know, your pick, the Cardinals, Kurt Warner, you know, I don't know if the Cardinals have enough firepower to get. I guess they do. They have the same team as last year.
Yeah.
I don't think the Cardinals would lay down flat. So I guess, you know, the Colts, I could see them winning big. Okay, let's talk about BCS championship real quickly, Ralph. We've got, Colt McCoy, Heisman runner-up twice, looking for that notch on the resume with the national championship, facing a very tough, very rugged Alabama team with Mark Ingram. Who's going to get the job done here?
Yeah, I could see Texas playing a good ball game, but I think at the end of the day, Alabama has more weapons. I think they have a better defense. I'm going to go with Alabama over Texas, 23-20. I like Alabama's running game. I think they're going to demoralize Texas. I think that running game opens up the rest of the offense, and it's not just Mark Ingram. It's guys like Roy Upchurch. You know, it's guys like freshman phenom Trent Richardson carrying the rock. And then you also have to love the speed of Alabama's defense. I don't think they're going to allow Texas to gain yards on any zone read or scrambling plays to the perimeter. And then Alabama's superior pass defense is also going to be a factor with Ronaldo McClain, Eric Anders, that can drop into coverage. So overall, I think Alabama is too loaded here, but I do think it's a close ball game. I'm going to go with Alabama 23-20.
Yeah, and once again, Ralph, we're in agreement. I like Alabama. I just think they're too good, they're too tough, and they just have too much for Texas to handle. So I like Alabama in the BCS championship. You're listening to the Sunday Morning Quarterback Show with Rick Saratella, Ralph Mancini, minus Ross Mandel this week. We're also minus the Taz, Manian Devil. So we are the two-man show. We got about 20 minutes left in the show. And, Ralph, you submitted your all-NFL all-decade team, which we're going to be posting on the NFLDraftBible.com shortly here. And why don't we give a sneak peek exclusive to it? Let's rattle down some of these names here and take a look at some of your selections. We just talked about the great career of Peyton Manning. However, with your all-decade team, you decided to choose Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, to me, it was a very tough decision, but I have to go with the guy with more rings, and that's Mr. Tom Brady. So, and the thing that I really like about Brady is, you know, here's a kid, he was picked in the sixth round, nobody knew who he was, nobody expected anything out of him, and he comes out, he beats Drew Bledsoe out for the job, and then picks up three Super Bowl championships. So I had to go with Tom Brady here at this spot.
Okay, can't argue with that one. Your next pick, LaDainian Tomlinson, not a big fan here, but hard to argue there. LaDainian Tomlinson, I will give you. However, your second running back, Ralph, I got to admit, this is a little bit, I'll have to go back and check the numbers, but this is a little bit hard for me to buy. Ricky Williams on your all-decade team?
You mean at running back? At running back, I went with Ricky Williams. I mean, look, I had a couple of different choices there for the taking. You know, look, he was my second running back, by the way. The other guy that I was thinking about going with was Fred Taylor. But Ricky Williams is a guy that, at his best, I think Ricky Williams was a better running back, a more dominant running back than Fred Taylor, as good as Fred Taylor was and is. You know, and then, you know, for the fullback, I went with Tony Richardson. And in that case, I didn't look at the numbers. I looked at longevity, and I look at the fact that he's still going strong at 37 years old.
What about a guy like Priest Holmes? I mean, I know it's not a long body of work, but you look
yeah.
at 2,000, 1,500-plus yards, then 2002, 1,600 rushing yards, 21 touchdowns, 2003, 1,400 rushing yards, 27 touchdowns, and I should mention that he went for 600 yards receiving in each of those years. So he had three consecutive years of over 2,000 total yards, not to mention back-to-back 20 touchdown seasons. So you're going to give it to Ricky Williams over Priest Holmes for the longevity factor.
Yeah. 3 years does not make a decade. I mean, hey, when Priest Holmes was at his best, I mean, there were a few that were better than him. You know, he had a Marshall Faulk type of impact on the Kansas City Chiefs when he was in his prime. But, you know, he was a guy that wasn't very durable, and he flamed out after 3 or 4 years.
Now, at the beginning of the decade, I mean, there were some crazy wide receiver numbers being put up, so there was a bunch of guys to choose from. Tell us the three guys that you selected.
Well, obviously the givens here are Randy Moss and Terrell Owens. You can't argue with those two players, two future Hall of Famers. And with the third guy, I went with another future Hall of Famer, and that's Torrey Holt. And I had a tough decision here. I was either going to go with Torrey Holt or Marvin Harrison. Now, Marvin Harrison was a terrific receiver. As a matter of fact, prior to Andre Johnson hitting 1,500 yards this season, Marvin Harrison was the only receiver in the NFL of all time to have back-to-back 1,500-yard seasons. But still, I think Torrey Holt at his best was better than Marvin Harrison at his best. And let's not forget, you know, Marvin Harrison had the luxury of playing with Peyton Manning. You know, you put Marvin Harrison on any other team, it's Marvin Harrison, Marvin Harrison. Whereas, you know, you put Torrey Holt with Peyton Manning, he'd probably have better numbers than Marvin Harrison, although that would be hard to do. I just I went with Torrey Holt, Randy Moss, and Terrell Owens as my three guys.
Interesting. And let me – I'm getting a private message. I am here stating a case for Brian Westbrook at running back.
No.
Did Westbrook come into play here when you were choosing your running back?
Brian Westbrook? No. No. I mean, he hasn't done it for long enough. And, you know, here's a guy that – already started breaking down about a year or two ago. So, I wouldn't even consider Brian Westbrook.
Okay. Tight end, you selected Tony Gonzalez. No arguments there. The big uglies up front, you went Walter Jones, Jonathan Ogden, Alan Faneca, Steve Hutchinson, and Kevin Mawai. I don't think I can argue with any of those picks. Imagine having that as your offensive line.
That'd be pretty nice. I like to be the running back behind that line.
Yeah. Yeah, throw Chris Johnson behind those guys, see how many yards he gets. Adam Vinatieri at kicker, you know, clutch kicks in the Super Bowl. Again, hard to argue. Punter, Craig Hendrick. What's the guy's name that was around forever with the Giants? And
Fiegels?
Yeah, no Jeff Fiegels?
Yeah, well, you know, Jeff Fiegels is a good directional punter, but when Craig Hendrick was at his best, I mean, this guy used to, you know, regularly get off like 50-yard punts, 55, 60-yard punts. He was a real weapon back there at punter, so I have to go with Hendrick over Fiegels.
There you go. Ralph breaking down the punting techniques. How about Sean Alexander? Did he get consideration for your all-decade team?
I thought about him for about 2 seconds, but, you know, I immediately crossed his name out. You know, look, you know what it is about Sean Alexander? He's a numbers guy. You know, you put up great numbers behind a great offensive line. I think a lot of running backs could have put up big numbers behind Steve Hutchinson and Mr. Walter Jones. But really, Alexander was a guy that would run out of bounds a lot, try to save himself, didn't really play that hard, and then he went out like a sucker.
So, no love for Sean Alexander today. Search elsewhere for that Sean Alexander hug. Devin Hester, as kick returner, you can't argue there, although Joshua Cribbs is stating a case at the end of the decade there.
You know, it's hard to find a kick returner because these guys don't last long.
Yeah, Dante Hall would be another guy that comes to mind.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do decent all-decade team in a second, but we got some questions coming in here. Non-PPR, do you start Larry Fitzgerald, Mike Bell, Sammy Morris, or Robert Meacham over Arian Foster as my flex? So I guess he's got Arian Foster as his flex, wants to know, any of these guys make sense to play over Arian Foster? Larry Fitzgerald, Mike Bell, Sammy Morris, or Robert Meacham, Ralph?
Yeah, I think Mike Bell is viable. I think Sammy Morris is a good play too, but I'm going to go with the team that has the most to play for. I'm going to go with the guy that's on probably the most explosive offense. Well, at least this week, they're going to be the most explosive offense. Houston Texans, they really need this game. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say that this might be the biggest game in the history of the Houston Texans since they never made the playoffs.
I'm gonna
go with Arian Foster.
I agree with your logic. If there was one guy I was considering there, it would be Sammy Morris. Now, at wide receiver, I don't have an update on the Deion Branch, healthy or not. I really don't know. But he's starting Deion Branch and Aramu Sadu from Chicago. Would you consider starting Fitzgerald or Meacham over any of those guys?
I would always consider starting Larry Fitzgerald.
Meacham over Deion Branch? I might consider that, you know.
Yeah, I would even take Fitzgerald over Branch, but Aramashadu is a guy that, I mean, he's going up against the Detroit Lions. Jay Cutler's playing with a little bit of confidence right now, so I would probably go with Aramashadu over any of those guys this week.
Okay, there you have it. Little East Coast gamblers in the house. I want to give a shout out and take a second to the chat room people for everyone that joined us here for week 17, the final week of the season. Our year-end wrap-up show. We got G-Money in the house, Dokuchu, all you guests that are too lazy to go to fsc.fm or blogtalkradio.com to sign up and get a free user account. Identify yourself. Mark Ronick, special shout-out to him, as always, the director of programming here at the Fantasy Sports Channel. He's the one that makes the Fantasy Sports Channel happen, and we're honored and privileged to be here each and every Sunday, 8:30 to 10. Skull Monkey's in the house. And Walkie 33 keeping the chat room alive in the absence of Taz this week. And I want to give a shout out to the Fantasy Taz, the fantasyfootballwiz.com. He was here with us each and every week moderating the chat room. So shout out to fantasyfootballwiz.com and Taz. Shout out to Ross, who couldn't join us here for the last show of the season. And, you know, the Patriots have rested their starters in the past, and I would think they're going to rest their starters again this week. So I would be hesitant to play my New England Patriot players. Aaron Rodgers is another one I would be skeptical. In fact, I recall reading somewhere that Matt Flynn was actually going to get the majority of the snaps at quarterback this season. So I would actually even start Matt Flynn before I start Aaron Rodgers. Now, Ralph, we got about 10 minutes left to close out the show. Let's get back to your all-decade team and cover the defense. Let's start it off. And you're taking some heat, by the way, for not putting Sean Alexander on your all-decade team. you know, when Ricky Williams was out on hiatus, Sean Alexander was rumbling for lots of yardage. But defensive end, who'd you select and why?
Yeah, I went with Dwight Freeney, and I went with Jason Taylor. Dwight Freeney, I think, is a no-brainer. I mean, this guy has been a huge difference maker on the Indianapolis defense. has a Super Bowl ring also, has been doing it year in and year out now for a number of seasons. So to me, and you watch him play now, this guy's still in his prime, you know, has that spin move, has that quick first step. To me, he is one of the premier defensive ends right now, and he's done it for so many years. Jason Taylor, look, this is a guy that I don't like at all. I hate this guy as a Jets fan. You know, to me, he's not a tough guy, Mr. Twinkle Toes and all of that, but you can't argue with the numbers and you can't argue with the resume. I mean, the guy has done it for so many years now. If you're considering longevity and you're considering sacks and numbers and stats and all of that, you know, I mean, who would you put ahead of Jason Taylor over, you know, the 10-year span from 2000 to 2009?
Yeah, I think he has more sacks than anyone in the decade. The second person, I think, all-time sack leader of the decade is not on your list, and we'll discuss him when we get to that position. Now, how about the hefties on the inside of the defensive line, the defensive tackles? Who did you select?
I went with Richard Seymour from New England. I mean, to me, he's a no-brainer. 6'6 guy, very rangy, a guy who's a decent pass rusher and a guy who could stuff the run, a guy who could do it all, got the long arms. And he's still doing it now, unfortunately, for the Raiders instead of for the Patriots. But to me, he's a guy who's still in his prime. And, you know, I would love to start a team with Richard Seymour on my defense. And the other guy is Kevin Williams from the Minnesota Vikings. You know, here's a guy that people usually don't talk a lot about. But, you know, you take a look year in and year out, the Minnesota Vikings are one of the stingiest run defenses in the league. And one of the big reasons why is because of Kevin Williams. And he's also a guy that can get after the quarterback and can get you 7 or 8 quarterback sacks. So to me, he's a multifaceted type of defensive tackle. And I would go with Seymour and Williams.
Now, linebackers, this must have been tough, but Derek Brooks, Ray Lewis, Mike Vrabel, and Brian Urlacher are the four guys you chose, with Keith Bullock just missing the cut. But what about Joey Porter? I think he has the second most sacks all time of the decade.
Yeah, you know, Joey Porter, I mean, I don't know, he's a good pass rusher, but to me, I don't know, I don't see him as a defensive leader, as a guy. First of all, he's never really been on any great teams, and you know, so you take a look at a guy like Derek Brooks, he won a Super Bowl. Ray Lewis won a Super Bowl. Mike Vrabel.
Was Porter on that Steelers Super Bowl team, or am I mistaken?
Yeah. Okay. All right. He was. But you know what? He was part of a defense that had a lot of guys that were just as good, if not better, than Porter. So to me, I don't know. I just look. I'm not bashing the guy, but I just don't put him in the same category as a Derek Brooks, as a Ray Lewis. To me, he wasn't. To me, he's got a big mouth, but a big mouth doesn't make you a leader. Had some nice sacks, but I don't know. I would take those other guys ahead of him.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough call here. And just to round up the all-decade team, the Ralph Mancini all-decade team, you got Ed Reed, Brian Dawkins at safety, Champ Bailey, Charles Woodson on cornerbacks. If you guys want to see the full list, we're going to post it on the NFLDraftBible.com website. We also have the NCAA all-decade team posted up there. Vince Young, Adrian Peterson, Reggie Bush. Just to name a couple, you can
Let me ask you a question. Who would you go with? Would you go with Keith Bullock or Brian Urlacher as a part of my quartet at the linebacker position? Because I had a really hard time deciding. I mean, Bullock led the Titans in tackles 5 times. In 2004, he led the NFL in tackles with 152. But yet, Brian Urlacher, a 6-time Pro Bowl selection, 4 times All-Pro, and a 2005 Defensive Player of the Year, but a guy who gets hurt all the time also. So Bullock versus Urlacher, who would you go with?
I think it's Urlacher all the way. In fact, the guy that would be in doubt here, in my opinion, would be Mike Vrabel, you talk about Joey Porter benefiting from being on a great defense. I think Vrabel was the guy that was actually on a defense that had better players than he was. Joey Porter, I think, I would give it to Joey Porter over Vrabel. I would give it to Urlacher over Bullock. So that would be my selection. But, solid team. We're going to post this on the website. It's always good to debate when you do these kinds of lists. And, Ralph, we got about 5 minutes left to go. Again, NCAA All-Decade Team is on the website as well. I want to give you a few minutes, Ralph, to give your signing off for the 2009 season. Last show, we'll be back to do it again next season. So your parting shot to the people out there.
Oh, look, it's been a pleasure to talk fantasy sports. And, the really challenging part about doing this show is, you take a lot of questions, a lot of tough decisions that, that need to be made each and every week. Are you talking a lot of times about star receiver versus star receiver? And we're here to help you out to weigh your options. And again, we're not always right, but, we use our logic and we have a reason why, we go with player X over player Y. And it's always a lot of fun. And, I'm looking forward to next year.
Yep, it's been one heck of a ride, Ralph, and there's no place I'd rather be than on Sunday mornings with you and Rostradamus, and we did it each and every week, 8:30 to 10, and it's been a pleasure. It's been a fun ride, and, here at the NFL Draft Bible, we're more about the NFL Draft, but, my roots do stem from fantasy football somewhat when I ran fantasyfootballinsiders.com. It's always been in my blood. So we've kept it alive here each and every week on the Fantasy Sports Channel. I want to give a special shout-out, a huge shout-out to the Fantasy Sports Channel. They have grown tremendously in the past 2 years. And if you don't know, now you know, www.fsc.fm is the Fantasy Sports Channel. Bookmark it. Bookmark All Access Football. We've wrapped up our fantasy football shows, but between now and April, we will be interviewing each and every player that gets selected in the 2010 NFL Draft. So definitely bookmark our show, All Access Football, so you can get news alerts. We're going to be doing interviews. Javid Best, who actually declared yesterday, we did an interview with him, I think a week or two ago. You can check the archives for that. We're going to be interviewing all these guys leading up to the draft. We also have another account on the Blog Talk Radio called College Football Insiders, also loaded with player interviews. So between now and April, you're going to get these one-on-one interviews, these player spotlight specials, 15-minute interviews with the NFL draft prospects. We're going to interview them all, I promise you. We've got the 9th annual 2010 NFL Draft Bible publication coming soon in alliance with the NFL Draft Bible website relaunch. And you can go there now and get all the exclusive NFL draft news. Nobody's doing it like the NFL Draft Bible. We've got the best staff in the business. We're a content factory machine. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is covering the NFL draft like we are. So, for Rick Serratella, for Ralph Mancini, for Ross Mandel, one last time, people. Till next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more. Get the party going on the dance floor. Because that's where the party's at, and you find out it's
breaks a couple of tackles. And look at him go! And look at him go! He could!